All right, up until 1993, in America, there was no way legally possible a man could be convicted of raping his wife. It was called the Marital Exemption Act. It was justified under three separate theories: the implied consent theory, the unities of person theory, and the property theory. That's right, women were property. And that's common knowledge. Not too long ago, in the year our Lord 2023, I did a show with the BTSE podcast on the retirement of Vince McMahon. And if you go back and listen to that show, we hit on a lot of points. And honestly, the homie Big got it right. He said that Vince McMahon was going to be back. And he did. After a year of retirement, he was reinstated at WWE. Right? But if you go back and listen to that podcast, we hit on a few points. Big in particular. About the hush money payments and the allegations. If you listen to that podcast, you will hear him say that he believed that Vince McMahon was getting out the paint because they was trying to make a deal and they didn't want any of those allegations coming to light so they can make that deal happen. And then afterwards, Vince McMahon would come back. And he was right. That appears to be exactly what happened. There's already rumblings about hush money payments and like sexual assault in the background, but now they are coming to the forefront. And I'm gonna read a little bit of the NBC News story. WWE founder Vince McMahon is under federal investigation surrounding sex trafficking allegations. Former World Wrestling Entertainment CEO Vince McMahon is under federal criminal investigation as prosecutors try to determine if federal law was broken in conduct surrounding recent allegations of sex trafficking that have been made public in lawsuits. Last week, the company, McMahon, and a former WWE executive were sued by a former employee alleging those crimes. McMahon has also discussed being under federal investigation and having his phone seized by a federal official. And let me say this, dog. One thing I don't do, I don't keep shit on my phone. Like, I am not hiding anything or doing anything nefarious. But since I'm a cybersecurity analyst and I've been getting into like cybersecurity, I don't keep nothing on my phone. So if you take my phone, that shit gonna be squeaky clean, bro. Dead ass. The Wall Street Journal was the first to report the federal probe. And let me tell you something right now, right there. That's a tale. When the Wall Street Journal is first to break something, it's hard to call it a liberal hoax. This is an ultra-conservative right-wing paper, right? Also, what it tells me is this is all fiscal. Somebody got some money on the line. And that was the same thing with the last podcast. Like, that was a red flag to me. When the Wall Street Journal breaks anything, I'm like, whoa. Money is involved. Somebody is trying to cover their ass. The 78-year-old exit is a major shakeup to professional wrestling's empire. I don't know. Maybe. Like, I'm going to have somebody to come on and talk about this. Hopefully, my homie Big from the BTSD podcast to talk about this again. But honestly, I don't think the impact is that great anymore. The empire is already built. Like, you can actually put this thing on autopilot. And I don't think most of the fans of WWE actually care about this. I know a lot do, but I'm going to say a lot don't either. And it's easy to distance McMahon from the company. So, I don't know. This may have a big effect, shake up the wrestling spear, but I don't think so. But hell, continue with the story. Janelle Grant, a former WWE employee, filed a lawsuit on January 25th against McMahon and former WWE executive Jonas Laurinaitis. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Laurinaitis? I'm going to say Laurinaitis. Claiming she was the victim of physical and emotional abuse. sexual assault and trafficking at WWE. And let's stop right there for a minute, because this is the most salacious of all the charges. Sex trafficking. That is getting a lot of people caught up. So let me just define what Webster says sex trafficking is. Sex trafficking is the action or practice of illegally transporting people from one country or area to another for the purpose of sexual exploitation. All right. So I know when you think of sex trafficking, y'all think about some underground cartel ring shuffling women around, but no. You know, if you are forcibly like telling a woman, hey man, come over here, and making her go over there for sex, that is trafficking. Yeah, that is trafficking, guys. Ask Matt Gaetz in Florida? Ask him about that, you know. McMahon disputes the allegations, saying in a statement last week, I stand by my prior statement that Ms. Grant's lawsuit is riveted with lies, obscene made-up instances that never occurred, and a vindictive distortion of the truth. Now, let me stop right here, and let me just say this. Vince McMahon has the right to meet his accuser. He does. If he says these allegations are false, he should have the chance to prove they are false. And before you guys say the tables are against him and he's already convicted, that ain't generally how it works, guys. The burden of proof is usually on the woman. And it's hard to prove that in a court of law. It's usually women who get the short end of the stick on it. I don't know where this narrative of the downtrodden man of power who's everything's against him comes from. Like, yes, guys, the billionaire, everybody's after him. He is not afforded any chances, and all the cards are against him. That's the battle somebody wants to pick against the billionaire with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Yep, guys. Mm-hmm. He's the downtrodden victim here. But, you know, whatever. I digress. Just putting it out there, guys. There's ways he can prove his innocence, and the man has resources. Like, dead ass. There are things he can show and produce to prove his innocence. Manifestos, scheduling dates, conflicts. It's ways you can catch people up in a lie if they're claiming sexual misconduct. There are ways. Dead ass. So he can do that. Moving right along. McMahon has not been criminally charged in connection with the allegations in the lawsuit. A lawyer for Laurinaitis said, my client vigorously denies the allegations raised against him in the lawsuit. We will respond in the appropriate form eventually. And once again, that's Mr. Laurinaitis has the right to meet his accuser too. But if I had to guess, somebody finna flip. And if I had to guess, I would say it's this Laurinaitis guy. I got a feeling. Somebody about to flip on this, bro. And the reason why I say this is it's too many moving parts. It's too many allegations levied against too many people. Like, Brock Lesnar was accused in one of these too. Like, linked up with Vince McMahon when he first came into the WWE. He is actually, like, a finger been pointed at him in this too. So once you get, like, this amount of movement, something is there. I don't know what the there is, but much like the case of Trump, right? Or anybody who stopped for a broken headlight. Once the police got you, dog, they can find other stuff. So I'm pretty sure that even if this ain't the case with the sexual assault, that dude is probably trying to cover up something else. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody or say like you're immoral if you got a lot of money or demonize people with a lot of money. I'm not. But you don't get like close to $1 billion being virtuous. You just don't, dog. You know where the bodies are hidden. Like, you've done something. Those apex capitalists, dude, they all got skeletons in the closet. Like, nobody wants discovery in that whole upper echelon of rich people. That's one thing they don't want, because there are stuff there that doesn't need to be exposed. Not trying to like make a moral judgment on anybody, but that's just what it is. A statement like that tells me that, look, man, somebody about to snitch. Dead ass. Get that pack of cigarettes ready and that hamburger for that room, because somebody about to sing, bruh. Y'all remember the first 48? When you always knew they're about to snitch because that head goes down. They bring in that cheeseburger. They get ready to sing. I got a feeling that Laurinaitis is about to do that. Yeah. McMahon is no stranger to allegations of sexual assault, and he has survived several during his reign at the company. Now, I want to put a pin in that. Put a pin in that. This is not the first time somebody has levied these allegations against Vince McMahon. In 1992, Rita Charlton, the first female referee in the company, accused McMahon of rape. Though he denies the allegation, he reached a settlement with her last year. McMahon also faced federal conspiracy charges alleging orchestrated steroid use among the WWE wrestlers. And look, man, that I don't know about alleged. That's true. Look at Chris Benoit. Ricky the Dragon Steam, but like, yo, but this evidence of that, bro. But I mean, alleged. He was never convicted, so I guess alleged. McMahon steps down as CEO of WWE in 2022 after an investigation found that he paid nearly $15 million to four women over 16 years to quiet claims of sexual misconduct. And like I always say, man, everybody ain't gonna tell the same lie. So I'm supposed to believe that this man paid over $15 million over these years just because it was just too hard to defend himself in court. And look, there is something about frivolous lawsuits with people with means and money. They do the calculation to find out like how much money it costs to just settle versus how much money it costs to go to court. That is a true thing. But you can't tell me, man, after like 12 years of this, that all of it is just bunk. Maybe it is, though. Maybe it is. But generally, when something like this happens, the rich and powerful make an example out of at least one person. But if you think that, man, I got some swampland in Montana to sell you. And the reactions to this has been, like, wild to me, because people say they're surprised. Like, wrestlers are surprised. And my only question to anybody listening to the sound of my voice is, why are y'all surprised? Like, dead ass. Why are y'all surprised? This should not be shocking to you. This is the status quo. This is what we do. Historically, men of power have taken advantage of women. That is the status quo. That is usually what happens. Men of means take advantage of women. And that's not fair. Not just men of means. Men in general, historically. Historically, power has always been skewed towards men. Do you know there was a law in America, the good of the United States of America, that allowed a husband to rape his wife without legal consequences? That was the status quo in the United States. You could not legally rape your wife. That was the status quo. And that law was eventually overturned. And do you know when that law was overturned? 1993. That's right. All the way up until 1993. You can just take it whatever you want to, man, because you couldn't rape your wife. She's your wife. I mean, come on, dog. That's a private obligation. Whenever you're ready for it as a man, go ahead and take it. Why? Because that's your wife. I mean, that's what you got married for, right? America, 1993. Called the Marital Exemption Act. Look it up. If you don't believe me, go look it up. So why are y'all shocked? You can only be shocked if you don't believe women. Dead ass. That's the only way you can be shocked, if you don't believe women. And that's a lot of that going on, dog. Like, this takes me back to the Me Too movement, right? Like, right in the thick of it. When Harvey Weinstein was being convicted, and that was a big to do. Like, people was clapping, like, yeah, Harvey Weinstein is convicted. Finally, we can get some release and reprieve. And I never forget this. My during the thick of it, my homie Chop in Japan, with all that like celebration and backlash going on, he was like, yeah. Congratulations, guys. We got him. We got him. The one weirdo in Hollywood. We rooted him out. We got the one guy. Now we all can go back to normal. Because we know we got that one creep out of Hollywood. Nobody else is doing anything, guys. We can go back to normal. Business as usual. We got the one guy that was doing all this sexual abuse in Hollywood. No, bro. This has been a problem for years, dude. This has been the get down. This has been the status quo. Like, women have been taken advantage of by men of power and positions. And they've been trying to say that, but men don't believe them. And some women in some cases, but it's mostly men who don't believe them. Now women are having a little more agency over their bodies and they're having more background and more like avenues to fight this. So you're going to see more of this. Like, why are y'all shocked? The former leader of the free world told you on tape he grabbed women by the pussy. He said that and he was elected president. So why would I be shocked now that he's getting convicted for grabbing women by the pussy? That's what he did. He said he did it. Why would I be shocked that he did it? Like seriously, white America would have believed Trump was a rapist if he did it over a hot beat. Seriously, if he did it over a hot fire track, middle white America would have believed he was a rapist because rappers do everything they say in their lyrics. Seriously. Black men are hyper-sexualized, painted as aggressors, and aggressive music is marketed to the masses. So, had Trump said it over a beat, y'all would be like, oh man, we gotta stop this guy. he been convicted for it twice, right? And multiple other allegations. This is the get down, man. This is what has been happening. So once again, this man has a right to prove his innocence. But, like, come on, guys. Come on. I have a homie, India D, sister, and we were talking, and she has this Jurassic Park theory that she broke down to me. Like, the reason why the dinosaurs are always causing havoc is because they were never meant to be alive during this time. So if you place a dinosaur in this time, all they can do is wreak havoc because they're not supposed to be here. Like that is the cautionary tale of Jurassic Park. Some things don't belong in a current timeline, an ever-evolving timeline. It's meant to be left behind. And that's what you have with a lot of men. Right now, there are dinosaurs. They are not meant to be in this timeline. That's it. You have dinosaurs who cannot adjust to this time. You have remnants of a past that is gone, guys. It's not coming back. It is gone. You're not going to see them times again. You see guys lamenting over the 1950s, back when men was men, and you could be more dominant, and you could approach a woman. And you see guys now talking about, I'm scared to approach a woman. I don't know what to do. And I contend, if you're scared to approach a woman because you think instantly rape allegations are going to be levied against you, that's a you problem. And I'm just going to say this. I'm not speaking from a position of privilege when I'm saying these words. My homie India Dean going to get mad at me because I'm cussing a lot. But I just got to say this, dog. I personally ain't never had a problem getting pussy. Never. And I am not one of the beautiful people. I am not, bruh. I have hung around the beautiful people. I know beautiful people. I did a movie with a Victoria's Secret model. What up, Tao Okamoto? Legit beautiful person. I have been around actors. Gorgeous, masters of the universe. I'm talking about no flaws, no blemishes whatsoever. And I am not one of them guys. But little old short, 5'7½ me, ain't never had a problem getting ass. Never. And I'm just a regular dude. I'm not out here doing something magical, mystical, dog. And if I'm just gonna be honest, dude, I ain't did shit in my adult life to ever attract a woman. Everything I do is for me. Dead ass. So I don't get why it's such a problem for all these other dudes. You can't approach a woman. Once again, think it's a you problem, dog. Stop doing that, dog. Like, seriously, if that's your allegation. Now, I will admit, the dating landscape has changed. It is different. But there's no excuse for saying, I'm scared to talk to women. She gonna accuse me of something. Bro, I talk to women all the goddamn time, dog. And let me just be honest, dog. I am an imperfect messenger on this. I got blind spots. Like, seriously, if somebody ever levies an allegation against me, I ask, like, what, why? What if I'm doing wrong? Like, if somebody say I'm doing something problematic, I don't, like, just discredit them. I ask, like, man, what I'm doing wrong? Like, dead ass. What did you, like, what? I was accused of being, or being involved in Massage Noir. And when I saw the allegation against me, I didn't fly off the handle and be like, what? How dare you say I'm a misogynist, a Massage Noir, or a passport bro? I asked, explain. That was my reply, explain. Because I was willing to listen. Now, the person never explained, so I can tell it was just something said to charge me up. But I was like, no, explain. Because had they explained to me where I was getting it wrong, I would have adjusted. Dead ass. I'm open to the fact I'm wrong, bro. And look, in my past, I've done a lot of problematic shit. So I'm not out here sitting here saying that, like, look, man, you can't find nothing on L. Spade. I am not saying that, bro. But what I have done is acknowledge my mistakes and gotten better. And if you're telling me that me acknowledging my mistakes and my privilege and where I've been getting things wrong makes me a pussy ass dude, then I just be a bitch. That's me. I'm a pussy. I'm a bitch, guys. I'm cool with that. I'm cool. If that makes me gay, not a man, I'm all right with that, dog. Come fight me. If you think the only way you can approach a woman is by being dominating and dehumanizing them and being aggressive, cool. Not my get down, dog. And if you want to tell me because I'm not, like, acknowledging that, that makes me less than, cool. I'm straight with it, dog. Introduce me to your gal. So let this Vince McMahon situation be a cautionary tale to everybody, dog. Like, you can't go out here and do this shit, bro. You can't. And it's going to be a lot more of this, guys. Because if we're being honest, this is how it's always been. We're changing from it now. And whenever there's a change, it's always going to be positioned as an overreach or something's wrong. Because when you've been in power so goddamn long, any symbolism of leveling the playing field seems wrong. Seems like an attack on you. I get it, bro. Ask me how I know. That's partly the problem with the black struggle. Trying to level things out. And look, I will say this. We do, in the year our Lord 2024 on, need to look at how we do family planning. We do. We need to adjust laws. Some things are skewed. As we tear down the patriarchy, we need to level stuff down. But this right here, guys, let's just all admit, you probably could have saw this one coming. All right, guys, I'm here to give you the most pressing and critical news of the week. Information that you gotta have. That's right. The Taylor Swift Bowl. That's right, guys. That's the most important thing going on in the world right now. Taylor Swift. Not the genocide that's happening in Palestine by the Israeli government. Mm-mm. Nope, nope, nope. Not the presidential election. Mm-mm. Not how President Trump about to get hit with that blowout. $83 million he has to pay. I'm sorry. $83 million he has to put in escrow and possibly pay more because of rape. Yeah. Possible leader of the free world convicted of rape. Second time. But no, no, no. That's not the present news, baby. Mm-mm. Nope. No, 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 no. That ain't the present news. Taylor Swift, guys. Taylor Swift, that's the one. Taylor Swift and her boyfriend. That's what the world is talking about right now, bro. That's all I saw on the news this week. Taylor Swift and her boyfriend. And I gotta say this, guys, and I'm saying this So y'all know I'm not talking out my ass when I say this. I went to school for journalism, broadcast journalism, news broadcast journalism, that is. Spent 4 years in a news station. Dead ass. Worked for WREG Channel 3 in Memphis, along with other media outlets. And there's something that my news journalism teachers at the great University of Tennessee at Martin, shout out to White Rodney, and it's called newsworthiness. That's the first thing you ask yourself before you run a story. Is it newsworthy? And if it is newsworthy, so what? What about it makes it newsworthy? And I gotta tell you guys, man, nothing about this is newsworthy. Nothing about Taylor Swift and her boyfriend is newsworthy. Nothing whatsoever. Now, is it something that you can probably write about in Teen Vogue or some kind of opinion piece? Sure. But on news stations running this 24/7? Nope. Makes no sense to me, dog. Whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the most important news about Taylor Swift last week that didn't get half as much attention is her being the victim of a deepfake attack. That's right. Somebody took Taylor Swift's face and put it on a porn star and made AI porn of her. That was way more newsworthy than her and her boyfriend in the Super Bowl. That shines a light on a problem that I've been highlighting for the last 2 years about AI and how it is going to be the downfall of civilization. Because now you can make these deepfake attack videos with people. There's robocalls right now going out of AI President Biden. It sounds just like the man. They done synthesized the man's voice and it sounds just like him, dude. In an election year, that should have had more focus and more attention put on it than Taylor Swift and her boyfriend. And I said this in my first podcast of the year. Stop letting cultural issues dictate policy, bro. Like, this ain't nothing but culture war-ish. This has no bearing on anybody's life. Whatsoever, dog. And if you want to be honest, man, everybody complaining about this or talking about this, they really don't care. You don't care? This doesn't affect your life whatsoever, bro. What Taylor Swift does and does not do does not affect your life. Which leads me to ask the question to all my right-wing brothers and sisters. Why y'all so mad? Dead ass, why are y'all mad? It's almost like y'all don't want to be happy or see anybody else happy. Like, see, Taylor Swift has a boyfriend who's handsome, a handsome football player. And y'all mad about that? That got y'all in a tizzy? She can't go watch her boyfriend play football? Because somehow that's damaging the game of football? Where we watch men run at each other full speed and get brain damage? She can't watch that because it's somehow ruining the game because she's bringing more eyes to the NFL. Why y'all so mad? What are you mad about? I'm starting to believe y'all just don't want to be happy on the right. I'm starting to believe y'all don't believe in love and y'all don't want to see nobody happy. It's a misery pool because what Taylor Swift does not affect you at all, bruh. At all, it's a trick they playing on us again, dog, and we keep falling for the same ruse, man. Like, on the right, on the Republican side, bruh, they keep trying to charge y'all up and make y'all mad, bruh. That's all they got. Only thing they have is pulling on your emotional coat strings because they know ain't no policy coming out of the right. It ain't nothing, bruh. It's only Caravan and Taylor Swift. And then they can't really talk about the caravan because Biden and the Democrats got a damn good bill to stop the caravan that they blocking. So what do they do? Hey, man, Taylor Swift. Biden wants her endorsement. Who wouldn't want Taylor Swift endorsement, bro? That's the game. This is nothing new. You got Republicans endorsing Trump. Like, yo, didn't Tim Scott just endorse Trump? Ron DeSantis just endorsed Trump? Endorsements are what you get, bruh. Are you saying that Taylor Swift is more popular than your politicians? And if so, why? Why? Like, dude, This has legit been a theme since Rock the Vote. Like, celebrity endorsements have always been sought out. This ain't anything weird or new. Just because President Biden wants her endorsement doesn't mean something nefarious is going on. It literally makes no goddamn sense, man. People endorse people all the goddamn time. But what you're admitting is that nobody on your side is popular and nobody likes you. So by default, Taylor Swift can bring more people to the Democratic side. But the question you gotta ask is, why is Taylor Swift supporting a Democrat? Well, she hasn't even supported yet. But she hasn't. But you're damn near pushing her that way now. Because you can't let her and her boyfriend be. They just want to make you guys mad. There go a boogeyman, Taylor Swift. Ooh. She's an op. Come on, dog. This is stupid. What do you think is Taylor Swift's and the government's angle on this? What are they after? Like, what does Taylor Swift get out of this? Like, what? She's already a billionaire, bro. She already got the top grossing tour in America. She already has a cult-like following. What does she get from the government if this is an op? Besides getting the guy who said it's okay to grab women by the pussy out of the paint, the guy who just got convicted for grabbing a woman by the pussy out of the paint. And if you're getting mad at me for saying grab by the pussy, be sure you're mad at the president for saying it. Don't get mad at me for saying it if you ain't gonna get mad at him for saying it. Like, you literally have everything that you should be praising about America in these two people. You got two highly attractive, visible people dating, appear to be enjoying each other's company. Even if it's not like long term, they're enjoying each other's company now. That should be a win. Like, are they not allowed to have lives and to do anything? But I find it telling that we're so willing to break down a woman and look down on her. Because it's been mostly attacks on her. Nobody's really attacking Travis Kelce. For the most part, they're attacking the woman and breaking her down. And I see this all the damn time. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. Like, if you had to guess what's going to happen, you would guess that, hey, the right wing is going to tear down a woman. A woman they should be building up. A woman from Tennessee, out here making her own money, stimulating the economy, but they want to tear her down. What policy is Taylor Swift pushing? What's her political agenda? What is our new Swift overlord going to ask the government to do? And how is that going to affect your life? Is she going to force you to start getting abortions now because she's pro-abortion? Does that mean everybody got to get an abortion? Is that what Taylor Swift wants? What is she going to do? Like, this is opposite. They're trying to deflect from the fact that nothing is happening. Once again, they're giving you nothing. Not a damn thing. But anger. Only thing they're giving you is anger and fuel for stuff you really don't care about. I keep saying this, abortion. You really don't care about that because that don't affect you. There's no real way of knowing to have somebody have an abortion unless you stick your nose where it doesn't belong. You didn't care about Dr. Seuss. You didn't care about Mr. Potato Head. Y'all didn't even care about them goddamn Confederate statues. You didn't care. It's our history. But don't tell about our history with slavery. The Civil War was not about slavery. Tell us about the good part of our history. You don't care about that. You don't care about who Taylor Swift is dating. Women date guys all the goddamn time. Guys date women. It doesn't matter, bruh. It doesn't matter that Travis Kelce endorsed Pfizer. If you didn't want to take the vaccine, don't take it. Why are you mad? How is this hurting you? Meanwhile, there's real policy. You need to start talking about foreign aid. There is a genocide going on in Israel right now. The Palestinian people are suffering. But we're busy talking about Taylor Swift. Really? There is an answer to the caravan crisis, the migrant crisis. There is an answer on the table. The Republicans are blocking. But Taylor Swift, That's what the news is about. Look, man. News has basically become more like social media, not the opposite. And that's the point I'm trying to make. I'll never forget this. When I was working at WREG News Channel 3, one of the directors told me, he's like, man, Marcus, true news doesn't exist anymore. And I was like, dog, what are you talking about? Shut up, old man. But he told me, he's like, look, Marcus, true news doesn't exist. All the news now is activism. And as I got a little older, I got to thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, he's right. Dude, real news isn't there anymore. True news just gives you the information and lets you decide for yourself. What we have now are pundits pontificating, giving their opinions, and telling you what to think. True news does not tell you what to think. You make up your own mind. It just gives you the information. But the pivot now has been made to make news more like social media. It's about opinion, advertiser dollars, and clickbait. Anything to keep you on the screen longer. Right now, you have newspapers dying. And print media, say what you want, man, but print media takes time. It goes through copy editing. It has a lot more channels. Now, the emphasis is on fast, fast, fast. Put it out, put it out, put it out, put it out right now. And that is killing us, dude, because when advertiser dollars are the focus and speed is the focus, they give you stuff you want, man. It's like we're not getting any hard, nuanced discussions about funding to Israel or funding to Ukraine, for that matter. We're not getting anything tough. They're giving you all of your dessert up front. Like, they used to be like small segments of news about this stuff right here where it's just a blip. But the rest of the news was hard-hitting journalism. You don't see that no more, dog. It's just a bunch of people on couches talking about crap like this. They're not giving you anything you need, bro. They're just keeping you distracted and making you mad because they know that way they can prime the pump, get more money at you, and keep you on the screen. My question, aren't you tired of it, dog? Aren't you tired of being the mark? Aren't you tired of being the rube? We can do better. All right, so I did a podcast a couple of weeks on the crime in Memphis, and I asked the question, who do you blame for the high crime in Memphis? And partly the reason why I asked that question was because the scapegoat was the then chief of police, CJ Davis. She was being made the scapegoat for all the high crime in Memphis. And now we have an interim police chief who is CJ Davis. And I'm putting this out to let y'all know I was right. I said that the Memphis City Council was going to reinstate CJ Davis. And a lot of people was going against me in the comments like, no, nah, man, they're going to kick her out. I don't see how she can survive. A lot of my friends was like, I don't see how CJ Davis can survive. And I was like, nope, she'll be the new police chief. And people were like, I don't know. I saw the city council meeting, and I did watch the city council meeting where they grilled her. They gave her some tough questions, but honestly, most of that was just grandstanding, dog. Dead ass. I saw that. I was telling my friend, like, this is grandstanding, dude. This is political grandstanding and political theater. I knew that the city council was going to reinstate CJ Davis because, first, some of the stuff they was levying against her couldn't, like, the fingers were pointing at them. They were talking about an ordinance they passed to stop, pretextual stops, right? They passed an ordinance to stop that. The only problem is the city doesn't make a law. Police officers are sworn in under state law. So technically anybody in the city of Memphis, the MPD don't have to follow that ordinance because there's a law that supersedes that ordinance. So if they didn't comply to that ordinance, what were you going to do? Take those cops to jail? Convict them? Which you could have, but you had to be prepared for that. You're already not paying cops enough. And now you're going to start convicting them? You would have lost a lot of police officers in that, so you couldn't really levy that against her. Also, like I said in that podcast, what do you guys think the police job is? The police can only do 1 to 3 things. Only thing they can do is lock your ass up, shoot you, or let you go. Those are the only 3 things the police can do. And once the police lock you up, it's out of their hands, dude. That's another department, bro. Like, you gotta look at the prosecutors. You gotta look at the jails, right? And a lot of the problems in Memphis right now is juvenile crime. So you gotta look at juvenile law. Like, and I knew they was gonna reinstate her because it's an easy person to blame if crime stays up. It's perfect. She was appointed under Strickland, Mayor Strickland. Now Mayor Young is reinstating her, so you have an easy Fisher, if you're the city council, to point to her and say she's the problem again. That buys you time. That stops people from pointing the finger at you on city council and the stuff you're not doing, because you can instantly point back to her. So it was always advantageous for them to reinstate her. Like, that was always a smart political calculation. That's why I knew it. I was like, yep, she'd be the mayor. Mayor. Yep, she'll be the police chief. She will be. And now she has the chance to make some reforms. And look, I'm going to be dead honest with you guys. This is just my opinions. As a dude living in Memphis, she's going to have to make a lot of reforms by firing a lot of people. She's going to have to get some of these old-ass dinosaurs out the paint. Dead ass. And she's also going to have to keep a good record of people she is arresting, programs she's implementing to keep the community safe, and show how the other departments aren't following through. Because, once again, what do you want the police to do? Do you want them to lock up people and just keep them? Police don't have that power, dog. We got to start looking at these damn district attorneys, dog, and prosecutors in these jails. Right? So I think that you're going to see a change now. Like, I feel it on the landscape, and I'm going to keep on putting my nose to the grindstone on this. And I'm going to start trying to find people that can tell me more that's going on in the political landscape in Memphis, because Memphis has a chance to turn the corner, guys. We really do. And I'll be interested in seeing what the Memphis City Council does, what Police Chief CJ Davis does, Mayor Paul Young. And I would love to see some pressure put on some of these prosecutors, because if we're going to be honest, man, the main problem in Memphis right now is juvenile crime. That's the problem. That's the issue. And I'm not going to give too much about my background, because I don't do that. But I would say I have a level of experience in this. In most cases, man, you recruit people young. You're getting these young kids to do crimes because they know that you're not going to convict them as adults, and they get leniency and levity that adults don't get. So the problem in Memphis is you're going to have to stop these seasoned criminals from recruiting young kids, which goes back to one of those plans that Police Chief Davis said in the city council when she's talking about reaching third graders and fourth graders, and the city council was balking at her. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to start outreaching to those. That's the only program I can see actually working. You can't program your way out of juvenile crime, guys. You can't. That is a farce. Because when the program going to take place? Deadass. When is this program going to take? Are you going to do an after-school program? If they're not going to school, are they going to show up for the after-school program? Seriously. In order to stop juvenile crime, you're going to have shared blame again. You're going to have to hold the parents accountable in some way. Seriously. In most cases, juvenile men, would do anything in their power not to apply pressure on their moms. And parents who have a tendency to let their kids slide, if they are being held accountable for them by ways of fines, levies, and maybe even jail time on their end, then some of this juvenile crime will stop, or they'll watch their kids more, right? Also, you're going to have like, and I'm going to put a whole crime plan together where I think needs to happen, dead ass in Memphis, but just a little bit of what I think should happen. You're going to have to make a juvenile court system kind of like weekend jail. If somebody gets out of line, you're going to have to put them folks in a system where you force them to go to school, you check up behind them, and when they get out of school, you put them in jail for the punishment, right? Like, you can't make it so that they miss school, they miss opportunities, and you're also going to have opportunities in that juvenile jail. Like, if they don't go to school, you're going to have to force them in that juvenile facility where school is there and force them to take advantage of that and have programs in there. Like, this is off the top of my head, so I don't have it worked out totally, but in a future podcast, I'm going to give what I think Memphis crime plan should be. But I'm here to say, man, Chief Davis, man, here's your time to shine. Come in here and make some reforms. But also, I just want to say, I was right. Listen to your boy. And that's the Common Knowledge Podcast, updated weekly. Thank you guys for rocking with me.